For some time now, the Wangan and Jagalingu traditional owners have been fighting Adani's proposed coal mine on their country. This week, Attorney General George Brandis succeeded in getting passage of amendments to the Native Title Act. Despite this, the traditional owners will continue to fight for their rights. To find out more about the ongoing campaign, I'm speaking to Marawa Johnson, spokesperson for the traditional owners. Welcome, Marawa.
Wadamalee. Hello, thank you for having me.
Perhaps I'll do a bit of a start before we go into the Adani thing and the traditional owners and their campaign. Could you give a bit of a background of what the government had been doing with Native Title and they've succeeded in doing? And what's the picture of that in the overall scheme of things?
At the moment, it's pretty disheartening to see that we have both Labor and the Lib supporting amendments to the Native Title Act to go through in a matter of months in response to a full bench of the federal court decision, the McGlade decision in relation to the Noongar people of Western Australia and the Western Australian government, pretty much found that the Native Title Act should be read and understood as it's written in black and white in the Act, which says that all claimants and applicants are required to sign off and authorise area agreements. And so this is in relation to Indigenous land use agreements. So the court decision was in relation to a settlement of Native Title for the Noongar people with the state of WA. So that settlement has been not approved because it didn't have all the necessary signatures that it needed. But what actually happened on that day, and we've heard from people as well that there were Adani lawyers in the court on that day in Perth, pretty much what it said that, so the decision was that all area agreements need all signatures. The quick reactionary response, legislative response by the Parliament to change the Native Title Act is because of Adani. We know that they're saying that there are, 120 plus area agreements that may have been affected by the McGlade decision in the last 7 years, so since Bygrave's decision in 2010 and up to the McGlade decision in February. But what actually happened was there were no Indigenous land use agreements that were automatically invalidated from our legal understanding, from our legal team. And so what actually needed to happen was that where agreements were working fine, McGlade decision did not automatically undo those agreements, but what it did do was not allow for the attempted registration of an Indigenous land use agreement that Adani is saying that they have with the Wangan and Jagalingu people. Of course, the Family Council's position and WNJ position is that that agreement is not legitimate and should never be considered for registration. But again, so this is where we're at the moment. So since February, there's been a whole bunch of moves by the coalition government and Labor as well to undo the decision of McGlade in relation to changing the Native Title Act.
So just to take the concept of Native Title back a bit, that whole concept came about through the Mabo decision, didn't it?
Yes, so a High Court decision in 1992, the Mabo 2 decision said that terra nullius was a legal falsehood. It was not true. There were pre-British sovereignty claimed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander laws and customs, and that those are first in time and first in law. And so they need to be respected as well. Because those laws and customs existed, there was no way that terra nullius could have been legally factual. And the situation is now is that 2017 is the 25-year anniversary of the High Court decision of Mabo. I was fortunate enough to be asked to be one of the keynote speakers at the National Native Title Conference just a week and a half ago. And there, it was very much, we discussed a lot about the fact that, this is 25 years on, a quarter of a century on from that landmark decision that says that the foundation of Australia, Australia was founded on a legal falsehood, and that, the act that came following the decision under the Keating government. The conference was about how Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people are interacting with the Act and what purposes it serves for Aboriginal people today to as a pathway in the hopes of claiming not just native title rights and interests, but having some land justice and land rights as well. The situation we see now is that we're celebrating this momentous occasion 25 years on from the Mabo decision, but also at the same time, you have a government trying to guillotine through amendments for one project, for one specific company, when there's been a law reform report sitting on the Attorney General's desk for 2 years, and he hasn't actually looked at it and thought about making those legislative changes until the McGlade decision happened and until Adani's purported ILUA was in jeopardy.
Moving on from beyond that, what's the current state of your people's legal action?
The big litigation that we have, which is the central case, is the litigation against the purported agreement that Adani is saying that they have with WNJ people. Of course, we know that 210 plus of those people who attended that meeting to give the veneer of consent and so-called sign off on an Indigenous land use agreement with Adani in Maribyrnong in April last year, 2016. We know that 200 plus of those people that attended that meeting are not WNJ people, have never previously identified and have never previously been to WNJ meetings, have never previously participated in the actual claim, which is, of course, our claim to our native title rights and interests over the boundaries of Wangan and Jagalingu country. So that litigation that we have running is to say this agreement cannot be legitimate and it cannot be registered because it is not a true agreement with the Wangan and Jagalingu people for the reasons that the people that signed off on this agreement are not WNJ people. But also there are four main grounds, one of three of which we've gone independently first to just on those three grounds that didn't depend on McGlade. And then McGlade happened. And we added McGlade to the grounds to make it four, to say that this agreement cannot be registered because it signs away Wangan and Jagalingu country where we have not surrendered our native title rights and interests. So that litigation, actually, the first hearing is not until March next year, so March 2018. So while Adani are saying we've got everything that we need, the last thing is changing the Native Title Act, you have the Prime Minister going to India meeting with Gautam Adani, the head of the Adani group, saying we're going to fix the Native Title Act. My question is, why does Gautam Adani care about the Native Title Act in Australia unless Wangan and Jagalingu people and our family council and our litigations have legitimate grounds to stop the Adani Carmichael coal mine that they're proposing? So the first hearing's not until March next year. So while they can say, we're going to give investment, we have every approval we've need, check, we've fixed the Native Title Act so this agreement can be registered, the reality is that is absolutely not the case. The Native Title Tribunal, which is the body that registers Indigenous land use agreements, the tribunal is actually a respondent to that case that will be heard in March next year. And so there is absolutely no way that Adani can count on getting a registered Indigenous land use agreement any time before March next year. And so while the reality is that they haven't moved anywhere further, what it is that there's a terrible, terrible stain on Native Title now and the legacy of Mabo because of the way that the government, supported by Labor as well, has fixed the Native Title Act. Specifically for one project for a foreign mining company.
It looks like you've got your court case going, but I'm sure you're fighting very much on the ground as well.
Yes, so we are organising our people. A lot of our people from Central Queensland were forcibly removed at gunpoint at the time of the dispossession of our people in the early 1900s and 1920s. So what actually happened was a lot of our people were moved off of country onto missions and reserves. And for the first time, we're bringing together all of the Wangan and Jagalingu families back on country to have a massive ceremony to heal the country, but also I guess, rekindle those connections that families who have been removed have with the country as well. I'm very fortunate to have grown up north and to grow up on country and be able to visit all the time. And my parents made a point of us knowing who we are and where we come from and learning how to read the country. Unfortunately, that's not the case for a lot of Aboriginal people. They haven't had that, I'm not going to call it a privilege, but opportunity because of the legacy of colonization and the way that our people have been systemically treated. Systematically treated, pardon me. But, so amazing work. We're organising the Family Council and also a youth caucus to come together back on country to do a massive ceremony and for the first time all of the families be back together for ceremony on country. So that's happening as well. Of course, we've been lobbying in Canberra. We've been meeting with people all over the country, sharing our story because that is our tool, that is our power, that's our agency. No one else can tell our story like we can. We come from, since time immemorial, a legacy of storytelling and the greatest sustainability that this world has ever known. And so that's also what we're doing, is working on getting that out there as well. A lot of the general public know that there is an Indigenous fight against the Adani, but they don't know the extent to which the forces are stacked up against us. Like, it is not normal for the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Australia to intervene in a federal court matter. That's essentially usually just a tick and flick procedural thing. But we have the Attorney General intervening in a 66B court action that the Wangan and Jagalingu people have. And so it's about getting that, getting that knowledge out there to people that the legal line of line of defence is WNJ.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it there because I've got more to do. And thanks anyway. And I'll probably be in touch again sometime.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Wadamalee.